You are listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Please visit our website radiosai.org to listen to our free internet streaming service. On this website, you can access audio streams. The first three are Asia Stream, Afri Stream and Ameri Stream, which offer you programs in the languages common to these geographic regions. The other two streams are Bhajan Stream and Discourse Stream. Click on the Bhajan Stream to listen to a Sai Bhajan at any time of the day. Similarly, to listen to the divine voice of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, please log on to the Discourse Stream. Just log on to radiosai.org and experience the divine love of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. For any inquiries, please email us at listener@radiosai.org. Dear listeners, Sai Ram. Welcome to a new episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai. In this series, we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity. Every devotee's deepest yearning is to serve the Lord. Therein lies the devotee's joy and self-satisfaction. Touched by Bhagwan's love and rendered restless by the thought, "What can I do for my Lord?" a set of youngsters set out to serve their master, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. These were Swami's students and his devotees who came together to make basic medical life support available to all in times of need. It's an NGO, a non-governmental organization called ALERT. ALERT stands for Amenity Lifeline Emergency Response Team. These inspired Sai youth have made a difference in the lives of many people. We at Radio Sai had the privilege of conversing with two of the key members of this initiative, Mrs. Kala Balasundaram, the founder, trustee and president of this NGO ALERT, and Mr. Rajesh Trivedi, the managing trustee of ALERT. They told us in detail about this NGO, and we had recorded the conversation, and today we will bring you that conversation. This conversation was recorded in the studios of Radio Sai in October 2012. But dear listeners, before we get into more details about this project, let me briefly describe what it is all about. As I said earlier, ALERT stands for Amenity Lifeline Emergency Response Team. ALERT has undertaken emergency response management as its first and core project. Through this project, ALERT trains various sections of the society in emergency response and also built support systems to make emergency care available to one and all in the society. This program is being taken to corporate, educational institutions, auto and cab drivers, shopkeepers, homemakers and other social bodies. Addressing the sad state of affairs in the emergency care ecosystem in our society, ALERT is also working towards a vision of common man's right to emergency care. The end beneficiary is none other than the common man in our society, which includes you and me. The mission is totally free from any commercial motive, and all services going out to the society is for free, with the only motive of achieving a medically aware, socially conscious and a friendly society around us. But dear listeners, you might wonder why we are talking about this service in this segment. It is only because it was initiated by devotees of Bhagwan. In fact, the idea for this initiative has its origin in one emotional moment when two devotees of Bhagwan were reminiscing their master's incomparable love. Recollecting that defining moment, Mrs. Kala Balasundaram, the founder, trustee and president of this NGO, says,
ALERT stands for Amenity Lifeline Emergency Response Team, which was started around 6 years back in 2006. The way it was started was It was early 2006, sometime in January, when there was yet another Swami student who was with me at that time. We had just gone out and we were just discussing a few things about Swami. We were just discussing about some seva, and I just got a bit emotional and was talking about Swami and about the service and not doing enough about it. And I was saying that something is lacking in my life. And although I was involved in various activities even then, so I was saying that there needs to be a purpose in my life and that I have to do something about it. His name is Pavitran. He is also Swami's student. And he was saying, Swami is listening to this and I am sure he will show you the way. And that was the discussion we had the first week. And I think the following week, Alert was born.
But dear listeners, what is Alert? And how and why did they choose Alert as their seva activity? Mrs. Kala explains further.
The thought and the idea was, it started off in early 2006. It was January 2006. And the core members of this group are all IT professionals from information technology. And we were all working in Chennai at what is called the OMR or the IT highway. And in, back in 2005 or 2006, the roads, right now it's a beautiful six-lane corridor, IT corridor. But in Chennai. And those days, it was the roads were really, really bad, and it was more than the vehicles, they used to be the cattle traffic on the road. So to see an accident on the road almost on a daily basis or a weekly basis is like a very regular thing. And every time we used to see some accident and a victim lying on the road, most of the time, almost 99% I would say, the people who come to help that victim would not be the educated people, the so-called highly educated people who are going in four-wheelers or the two-wheelers. The people who actually come running to help are the bystanders, the autowalas, or the tea vendors, shop owners like that. So this was really a bothering factor as to every time, because we used to go by the company buses and there'll be an accident, there'll be a victim lying there and people will be gathered doing nothing about it and we'll be seeing it from the bus. And every time the heart will go off, because I think innately everybody are compassionate. It's just about not acting on
it. Action is not.
Right. So every time the heart will go out as, why aren't anybody doing anything about it? Why are they just standing there and doing nothing about it? And I think the spark, you know, that ticked off was, you know, why can't I do something about it? Why can't we do something about it? That was the way it was started. And at that point of time, I was also going to a hospital there for voluntary service whenever I get the free time. I started consulting the doctors as to what can be done about it.
So that was how the idea for Alert was born. And that also explains their organization's tagline, "Compassion without awareness is merely a good intention, whereas compassion with awareness leads to action." Mrs. Kala and others in that group who were inspired to take up this project strongly felt that the virtue of compassion was present in everyone's heart, but what was lacking was the knowledge and awareness. So, how did they go about this newfound mission? It is noteworthy that none of these individuals had a medical background or any training in emergency response. So, the first obvious step was to get themselves trained. In fact, that was the only idea they had in mind, to form a small group of like-minded people, get themselves equipped so that the next time they see an accident, they can jump into action, well, constructive action. But Bhagwan had other plans, but about that a little bit later, dear listeners. Now, how did this group, woven together by the love for Baba and this desire to be responsible citizens, get trained? Mrs. Kala explains.
And there was one Dr. J.S. Rajkumar, who's the chairman MD of Lifeline Hospitals. He was able to visualize what I was trying to say, that, you know, let's group of us get trained and we will act in need. And immediately he said, I will give you, he has a hospital there on the OMR, and he said, you can make use of all our doctors, you can get trained from them. But he said, make a presentation and why don't you present it to our doctors? To be really frank, at that point, that 1 week, it was all happening, what I would say is absolutely, because I'm not a kind of person who has a medical background, or absolutely I'm not a I did not think about how it's going to turn out to be. My only thought
is, IT field, right?
Absolutely into IT field. And even the word alert, today it's caught on so beautifully, that word, that it was a spark, and I just put it on the presentation, and in fact people were making fun of even that word alert, but today it's really, I would say, it's just caught on.
Yeah.
So that was how it started, and then by October 2006, we decided that we should make it as a trust to take it forward. And slowly it started gathering momentum. And yeah, today we have trained over 20,000 people. And I would say it's purely Swami. He's been proving it time and again that he's a doer and we are just the instruments. And all that emotion that came out as, you know, there needs to be a purpose in my life, I feel that, you know, he's really shown me the way.
Mr. Rajesh Trivedi, Managing Trustee of Alert, is a Swami student who studied in Swami's school and college right from his 11th grade to his MBA degree. He has been a part of this project from its inception. He explained to us how this seed grew.
After I passed out of the portals of Swami's Institute,
yes.
I think there was a wealth of experience, a wealth of teachings, the amount of things that we have heard Swami say day in and day out, that we carry along and get into the world that is filled with, full of action, a lot of things out there. So that's when I got into a corporate life, got into a company to work as again an IT professional. Here I was fortunate again to be part of a bunch of alumni, the other brothers who passed out of this institute. So right from the inception days, I think we were able to contribute to this small seed that got sown in terms of we should do something about the situation that is bothering us so much.
So you were also in that core group, right?
Yes.
Initial core group.
Whatever we have seen here in terms of how projects get designed and how service becomes the first motto and all that, it saw expression in this small seed called Alert. So we thought, you know, that's how my association started off with Alert, and we started sharing ideas, and we said that, you know, let's grow this further as much as possible. So as a first step, we all got trained.
Mm-hmm.
When we got the training is when we realized that looks like these are very simple things to do.
Yes.
Looks like they are so simple that, you know, it can be easily imparted. Just imagine a victim out there who is facing an emergency. If only he had somebody who had two things. One is compassion, as we spoke about. And I think there is no human being on earth who is not born with compassion. The only thing that propels that compassion into action is a little bit of awareness. And that is where we thought we can add value. We signed an MOU with the Indian Medical Association, formed a curriculum, and the curriculum in such a way that it can be easily imparted. So we started doing these training workshops. So my association further strengthened because of, you know, talking to the doctors, you know, gaining some interest in the subject and things like that. And over a period of time, we moved to a model where non-medicos like us, we started imparting this knowledge, purely driven by the fact that many times when we face an audience, the audience, when they listen these topics from a doctor, they sign it off saying that, you know, it's an easy subject matter for a doctor because he's a doctor. You know, he's from a biology field, right? Whereas it's not that simple for a layman to do. So along with the doctors, we consciously decided that looks like, you know, we need to demonstrate the fact that these are some very simple techniques that a non-doctor can also do to finally save a life.
Mm-hmm.
Time and again, we have always heard Swami say a very simple thing, and at least in my 7 years of student days here, just these words, Jantunam Narajanma Durlabam, I would have heard I cannot count n number of times.
Right.
Okay,
Swami keeps telling it again and again.
Now, human form is the most rarest of opportunity a soul can get. So here is an opportunity we felt we had in hand where we can help reduce loss of lives for whatever. They shouldn't be lost because of emergency situations. So that's how this alert beautifully took shape.
The NGO alert was indeed born out of the inspiration given by Bhagwan. But did Bhagwan's involvement stop just there? Mrs. Kala emphatically says that she strongly felt all through that it was Baba who was doing everything. What was it that gave her that belief? Here is a description of an interesting event in her own words.
I think it was, we had started and it was 6 months down the line and we were still going about it in a very, very small way. And on a Sunday morning, I was, actually that Sunday morning I was too, it was just after Diwali. I think it was just, October 2nd on Vijayadashmi, it was the trust, we inaugurated the trust. And then I think the following month there was this Diwali, immediately after Diwali. It was
October 2nd happens to be Gandhi Jayanti also.
Gandhi Jayanti, yes, and it was also Vijayadashmi, a very, very special day. Yes. This was in 2006.
Okay.
So, and I think that was Diwali of that year, and following the Diwali, that Sunday, there was a discourse or a speech by one of the people's Swami's devotees there in Sundaram in Chennai, and I was supposed to go there. And that morning on Sunday, I had this vision or dream or Swami's, message. It is like I see him and I seek his blessings for alert, but initially there's nothing being spoken. He's just giving me a very, very stern, business-like look. I mean, I've never seen such a serious Swami. He's always very loving, very, all adorable Swami that he is. But then on that day specifically, he's giving me a very serious look and he says, so you want to do seva? Then I say, yes, Swami, and need your blessings for alert. And then he keeps looking at me and then he says, it's not going to be easy. You'll be dealing with a lot of governmental bodies, but when you need me, I will be there. So this was like a blanket check. And I immediately called the students who were also involved in this, the core team, and I shared this dream. Jokingly, I was just saying, Swami says we'll be dealing with a lot of governmental bodies, but because at that time we never did. All we were doing is to interact with a few doctors, getting trained. So that was the level of interaction. But then we were so happy that Swami had given us a blanket check saying that he'll be there when we need him. But since then, to date, it is like, of course, it is so much more a conviction that because on a daily basis, we are dealing only with governmental bodies. Any association, a body or any organization which has a government link to it. So since then, every step that we take and which we think would be a hurdle and we'll not be able to proceed. Swami has always been there. So we have now reached a point that we don't worry about anything. So we want to do something, we just keep going about it. And it just makes way. I mean, just things fall into place. That's what I always keep saying. It is like that what we have read in Bible, when Moses walks, the ocean makes way for him. It's been like that. Every step that we take, Swami's presence is so obvious in it. His invisible hands is always there.
But the events that followed the divine promise revealed to the members of Alert the import of that dream. For the journey along the path they had chosen began to draw them to more responsible roles and interactions with decision makers and governing bodies. Mr. Rajesh explains how that happened.
See, on one side, we kept training people. The only goal was to raise the preparedness levels of people during an emergency. And as we were traveling in this journey, somewhere we started finding that, we started getting this negative reinforcement that somebody who really goes forward and helps right? So that is as much as he can do. Beyond that, the victim is now at the hands of different stakeholders of an emergency care ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So when we say different stakeholders, in any eventuality, the emergency victim needs to get into an ambulance system, from an ambulance system needs to get into a professional hospital system. Somewhere between ambulance and hospital, there is a legal system that plays a role, and the legal system has an influence over how the enforcement happens. And somewhere as a line that you can never see, insurance plays a role in this complete chain. Okay, so that's when we realized that, you know, emergency care is much larger. And looks like each of these individual stakeholders are doing their brilliant job when it comes to delivering it silo. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to acting as a team together to save the life at the end of the day, we felt there are lots of gaps. And that's when we started, we got onto a project where we wanted to better the emergency care ecosystem. Now, this involves studying current laws, and also finding out why the current laws are not being effectively enforced, and what is the lapse when it comes to professional hospital centers. India today boasts of a medical destination for advanced medical care, but then when it comes to basic life support, it's a sad state of affairs and a very long way to go. So this led us to, you know, get into a dialogue with the different agencies. And, you know, we started talking to people from legal fraternity. We started talking to people from the enforcement. And then we started understanding the laws which are there that can protect a bystander. And then we started interacting with the government to find out if these can be, you know, effectively enforced on the ground. This was happening naturally without us realizing the fact that this is exactly what Swami said about 2 to 3 years back, that we will be interacting with governmental agencies. We thought it's just a medical stuff. We are just going to go there and impart knowledge. Where does government come into the picture? And then we realized that after a point, I think we were naturally taken to a spot where we had to interact with so many other systems to ultimately end saving a life. Right? That was the motto of ALERT. And if we had to deliver that, then this was inevitable.
Bhagwan often says, our duty is to do what lies in our strengths and play our parts, and He will do the rest. That is the experience of every devotee who has taken up a service project, and that was the case with ALERT too. With no initiative from their side, Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam, the former President of India, joined the ALERT bandwagon. He got to know of the novel initiative by this group of working professionals from an acquaintance of his. Well, Dr. Kalam is also an ISRO scientist. So Dr. Kalam invited the members of ALERT to the Raj Bhavan for a meeting, which Mr. Rajesh describes for us.
So it so happened that Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam, the former president of India, we also know how respectful man that he is, a man of vision and a man of complete humility. So he had heard about ALERT through one of the acquaintance, one of the well-wishers of ALERT itself, because he is a scientist from ISRO. It happened that, you know, we got to meet him, and he got interested in knowing a little more about what these guys are literally doing, you know. So we got an opportunity that when he visited Chennai, we got an audience with him. It's like this, you know, we were a bunch who were so passionate about this entire thing, and we had a huge wish list of things that we thought we should do, okay, full of ideas and things like that. So when this happened, we presented this entire thing to Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam, and we told him that these are all the things we are doing currently, and these are all the things that we think we should be doing. And he was quite impressed with the fact that here is a bunch of people who became the change that they wished to see in the society. I think that inspired him, that sort of, take note of this initiative. And he encouraged us, and he put a number on us, you know. He said, anything that gets driven by a number, right? So there is a lot of, force that can add into it. So he said, why don't you look at a target of training at least one in every family.
Okay.
So now if you can simply put a simple math and try to convert this into a number of families, if you take just Chennai city and then extrapolate it into number of families in Tamil Nadu, number of families in entire India and maybe the entire world. But then we knew that here is a man who was giving us a certain goal, which might look like shooting at the stars, but then if your aim is not that high, maybe we'll not even land on the cloud. But from then on, we said our goal will be to train at least one in every family. So every time we addressed an audience, for us, it was not the individual who was being addressed by Alert, but that individual representing that family. So that we can try and ensure that at least one in every family gets trained in basic life support and basic emergency life-saving skills. And then the second meeting with Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam happened again in about 1.5 years to 2 years, I think in 2009, where we saw, you know, since he had given this, since he had told this, we wanted to give a report on what we had done. You know, it was a kind of a review and things like that. We once again were blessed enough to get an appointment with him. But here is where I think the unseen hand comes to play. May not be explicit, but then to all of us involved at Alert, we know that we are such an ordinary people that the way we walked into Raj Bhavan, met Dr. Kalam, and the way we walked out didn't look like we were ordinary people. Only because I think there is Sri Satya Sai Baba behind us. That made everything that very simple, that very easy, right? So I cannot otherwise think of the situation as us being ordinary people be able to take these initiatives and reach it out to people who can add a lot of value to this complete initiative.
To add to that, dear listeners, Mrs. Kala narrated an interesting event. It seems she had the practice of sitting for meditation every morning at home. It was more like the time she sat and poured before Swami all her problems and questions. And that particular morning, it was a wish to meet Dr. Kalam. And during the prayer time, she would usually put away her phone so as not to entertain any disturbance. After her prayers that day, when she picked up her phone, she noticed a number of missed calls from a particular number. When she called back, the person on other side said that he was speaking from the Raj Bhavan. For a while, Mrs. Kala thought it was from a hotel, Raj Bhavan, which was near her mother's place. But then that person said that he was the secretary to Dr. Kalam and asked her, "Would you be available for a meeting with Dr. Kalam this afternoon?" That was totally unexpected. After describing this incident, she exclaims, "How else could all this be possible if not for Swami? They would never have been able to meet Dr. Kalam if they were to wait for an appointment. But here, Bhagwan had arranged it in such a way that Dr. Kalam's secretary was asking, "Would you be available for a meeting with Dr. Kalam this afternoon?" Well, dear listeners, Dr. Kalam was not unintroduced to the ways of Swami either. Mr. Rajesh recollects.
In fact, at one point in the first meeting, I do remember that when I introduced myself as a student from the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, all I could see in Dr. Kalam's eyes was, he was full of reverence. It sort of looked to me like he acknowledged where all this is coming from.
Coming back, dear listeners, to what exactly happened in that second meeting, Mr. Rajesh shares.
So in the second meeting, we ran through with him all the ideas that we had implemented so far. At that time, we also had a goal to a wish list item to start an ambulance system by ourselves. And I think Dr. Kalam rightly guided us to start looking at, you know, why do you want to reinvent a wheel which is already there in place in the form of the national emergency number, which is 108 in India. So rather, I think there are so many gaps in the stakeholder emergency ecosystem. So I think it will be more beneficial if you focus on those individual gaps rather than putting together a system itself in place. So those were valuable suggestions that came to us, and we caught on to that, and we started focusing our energies and all our ideas towards the other aspects of the emergency care ecosystem.
So that was how, dear listeners, Alert's partnership with Ambulance Service 108 or the National Establishment EMRI service began. Further, talking of the growth of the NGO, Mrs. Kala says,
when we started, the workshops used to happen maybe once a, normally it used to be during the weekends. because we all are professionals doing our regular office jobs. We used to focus only on weekends. And it used to be like we used to go to the corporates, we used to go to the schools, colleges personally and request them to take in our trainings. And with a lot of hesitation, they used to agree at times because they know us, or at times because it, you know, we are not charging for it and it comes for free. And few people, maybe it was more of curiosity, okay, let's see what they have to say. So it used to be like that, and now it is sort of multiplied, and we have at least 3 to 4 trainings per week.
Okay.
And we also do it during weekdays. Now we have a full-time volunteer who's able to focus even on weekdays, and then again, as volunteers, we go and do it during the weekends too.
Well, dear listeners, now, what happens during these training sessions? And how are they structured? Mrs. Kala explains.
Again, we have 3 different kinds of training, modes of training.
Okay.
One is, it's a 1-hour sensitizing awareness sessions where we just go and talk to the people and say, talk about the need for the training and about the need to act in time and what it takes to save a life. We try to say that you don't have to be a doctor to save a life, and some simple techniques can actually help towards that, go towards that. Naturally, it is just a very natural phenomenon that we have seen that every time we conduct this awareness sessions, they get triggered to come to the second level of training, which spans for around 3.5 to 4 hours.
So that is in another day, right?
Yeah, normally it is another day.
Okay.
It's a half a day session, typically. And where we cover the basic life support, the BLS, as well as the common medical emergencies. That is the 3.5 to 4 hours workshop. It's a little bit more in detail. And then people who are interested further, then if you are, say, training for around 40 to 50 people, definitely there will be around 5 to 10 people who are really inspired by the whole thing and they want to take it to the next level to become trainers themselves or to become even more equipped with the life-saving skills. So they come back to us for the advanced training. They literally have to shadow us, shadow the rest of the core volunteers for around 3 to 4 months. So they go through a more comprehensive training on the same subject matter. And they also, as I said, they shadow us for at least 3 or 4 workshops. So they observe, then slowly they get into the demonstrating part of it. And they, you know, they move on as the real skilled volunteers, first responders.
So the one who has gone through the third level also gets an opportunity to spend a day on an ambulance handling emergency cases.
Oh.
So that apart from just the hands-on, apart from just the hands-on experience, some real-time experience is a must before we can, you know, call somebody completely skilled.
The way the members went about constructing the whole project is worth studying and learning from. In fact, dear listeners, they themselves were students, learning and unlearning on the go. Mrs. Kala tells us how they went about building this project.
We started, we sort of made a survey, a small survey with a few people on...
In and around Chennai.
Yeah, in and around Chennai. On what is it that is stopping people from acting when there's an emergency, that inertia that we were looking at. And there were 3 things that were coming out very clearly from almost everybody, you know, from the survey. One was about, we don't know what is to be done during emergency and what in case we go try doing something and it becomes worse. And second thing is legal harassments. We don't want to go into police stations or courts, or we don't want to be harassed by the police. The third one was, it's like we don't have the time. You know, people are always rushing from one place to another. You know, it's always about no time factor. The first one is on the awareness, knowledge part of it. Second one is this mindset about the harassments involved. Third, I would say it was more of an attitude problem that, you know, I don't have the problem. There are certain things which is within our control where we can do something about it. Certain things which we thought are beyond our control. So we thought, let us start off with what we can, you know, where we can, sort of make a difference. And we thought awareness is the first step towards it. So our core project continues to be on a training. Sort of we have a curriculum that has been vetted and authorized by, endorsed by the government of Tamil Nadu and the Indian Medical Association, which we take to the audiences. So this is on first aid and emergency management. So to date, we have trained 20,000 people. And other than this, we also have a CBT, that's a CD. We have released a CD, which is again a computer-based training.
Okay.
Yes. Now that we have started training and we have started moving on to beyond Chennai boundaries, so we thought there should be one curriculum that is consistent across, how many of our trainers are there, and second, also that can be, more scalable.
Mm.
So CBT was launched. We call the CD the Alert Being.
This CBT, that is computer-based training, is a flash-based presentation which can be procured by anyone who might be interested in learning few of these simple emergency response techniques. To buy one of these CDs, dear listeners, you can write to info@alert-wecare.org. That is info@alert-wecare.org. But what are these techniques that can save lives yet are so simple that it can be learned from a CD? Mr. Rajesh shares with us a few snippets from their training program.
I would maybe want to highlight a few points to note.
Yes.
And maybe some myths that needs to be removed outrightly.
Okay.
You know, based on the way certain practices that could actually end up endangering a life, right? Without getting too much technical about it. So in any emergency situation, and the very first thing that one needs to see is to see if a person is first of all responding or not responding to stimuli.
Okay. Is he conscious or unconscious?
Is he conscious or is he unconscious? Okay. So there are two ways to do it. One, you feed him the stimuli of touch or you feed him the stimuli of sound, right? So based on the response of the person, you know how critical or non-critical or what percentage of criticality the situation could be in front of you, right? So from there on, there is something called the CAB assessment, which is checking your circulation and airway and breathing, which are the vitals of any person who is normal.
Yes.
So if a circulation breathing not there, then there are certain set of actions. And circulation and breathing there, then there are certain set of actions.
Yes.
Some important myths that we would want to convey through this program is, in our society, I think there is a practice that for any given situation, we think one universal answer, one universal response is to provide water for the person to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the times, unfortunately, when a person is unconscious, you know, when you feed or force any liquid, including water,
mm-hmm.
into the victim's system,
mm-hmm.
that really endangers the person's life. Now, that happens basically because of a very simple thing. Now, when we all go to sleep in the night,
mm-hmm.
right? We don't need to eat food at that time,
yes,
but we need to breathe,
okay.
right, when you're sleeping.
Yes.
So what happens is your foot pipe is kept closed, your windpipe is kept open.
Okay.
Mm. When a person has fallen unconscious, it is exactly the similar state.
Okay.
So your foot pipe is closed, windpipe
is open.
When you force water into the person, there is 200% chance that the water will directly flow into your lungs,
okay.
which is like, making the situation super critical.
Mm.
So this is something which we thought, first myth to crack. Let's be very conscious that only if a person is conscious,
yeah.
responding to stimuli,
mm.
offer him anything to drink, otherwise nothing to drink. There is another good position that one should ensure when a person is unconscious,
mm.
But is breathing and his and is circulating, is to put him in a position called the recovery position. recovery. The recovery position is a position where you help the person sleep sideways.
Sideways,
right?
Okay.
Not upright, not upside down, but sideways. When you help the person sleep sideways, what happens is there is a good chance of oxygenated blood flowing directly to the brain. So an unconscious person, the priority is for the blood to be supplied maximum to the brain. Many a times you find these in common life, you know, somebody has just fainted, you check the vitals, circulation is there, breathing is there, and you just lay him upright and wait for an ambulance to arrive, or, you know, in that meantime, if you can put him in a recovery position, it's going to help him a great deal. So these are some of the things that are well comprehensively taught in our workshops. When there is excessive bleeding, not only in accidents, any type of bleeding, when there is external bleeding, when you say external bleeding, it's visible to your eye. Internal bleeding, not visible to the eye. Very straightforward explanation. For an external bleeding, you will have to apply a compress on the region where it is bleeding. In the sense, wherever there is a slit or cut in the skin, and the blood is coming out of that region of your body, take a clean piece of cloth, put it exactly over the injury, not around it, exactly over the injury, and apply pressure. Applying pressure there helps in increasing the speed of clotting. You know, blood has a natural tendency to clot.
If blood clots, then bleeding will stop.
Bleeding will stop.
Yeah.
The other very simple thing you can do is to, whichever portion of the body is bleeding, right, you raise it above the level of the heart.
Okay.
A simple principle, you need a pump set to pump water from a lower level to a higher level.
Yes.
And the other way around, it's very simple. Gravity will take care of it.
Yes.
You are just using exactly the same principle. Whichever part of the body is bleeding, ensure that that part of the body is kept above the heart level so that the flow of blood to that region is slowed down.
There are many such simple things that are taught by the alert group that can make a difference between life and death. Those moments that follow an accident, lasting till professional medical care is available, is referred to as the golden hour of emergency. And the primary motive of alert is to make as many people as possible competent to assist in that golden hour. Further in the conversation, Mr. Rajesh said about some of the legal provisions that has been amended recently in favor of people who come forward and help.
See, if you're going to help a victim within the constraints of four walls, there's nobody really binding you with any laws. But when you're doing it in a public location, there are laws that abide up any citizen. Every citizen of the country needs to abide to certain laws. Very recently, in the last 5 to 10 years, a lot of amendments to Indian law has been made to an extent that it goes in favor of a person who actually comes forward and helps. Just to quote one, is an amendment to Section 134 of the Motor Vehicles Act. Which clearly states today that if you do not wish to be a witness to a certain case, an individual has the right to say so, that he doesn't want to be a witness, and the police cannot force a person to be a witness. Similarly, the rigidity that was there in the jurisdiction where an FIR can be filed has been relaxed. You don't have to file an FIR only in the jurisdiction where the event occurred. You can actually file an FIR in any jurisdiction. So that's another amendment that has been brought into place. And now it's a legal thing that hospitals that do not provide basic stabilization to a victim of emergency can be penalized.
Okay.
They can be legally prosecutable. There have been some such encouraging legal provisions that have been amended in the recent past, and there should be no reason for anybody to come forward and help because the laws are not in favor of the
person. So what you're saying is, like, if there is an emergency case in an accident, so hospital shouldn't neglect the case. They should immediately take it.
They should immediately take it, at least to the extent of stabilization. When we say stabilization, we mean let the person, you know, ensure the vitals so that the person stays alive. Any further treatment can come even after filing an FIR. But before filing an FIR, we can still go ahead and make sure that the person stays alive.
And the person who is helping is not responsible for anything, like any police case or something.
Absolutely, absolutely. The person, and so that's why I think the law is requiring you to explicitly say that I don't want to be a witness to a certain case. Because an FIR automatically goes with
you.
You
just help the person.
You just help the person with all good intent.
Yeah.
But, dear listeners, there is one interesting aspect of this seva rendered by these devotees. As Mrs. Kala puts it, all the while, people at Alert are training other people, praying that these trainees never get a chance to use these skills. Because, who would want people to be in an emergency situation, right? Every service activities have challenges to overcome. So, when asked about the challenges that Alert is facing, Mrs. Kala explained.
I would say the topmost challenges that we face is one is to gather volunteers, because Alert, the cause is about saving lives. The beneficiary of this, actually what we are doing is to impart training to the people, and with the intention that this training could save a life someday somewhere, to, you know, somebody would be the beneficiary of this training. And typically when we go and try to do some seva, which is about, with due respect to all seva, we go to an old age home, we go to an orphanage, you know, to be with the children. It could be our anniversary, a birthday. We would like to do something, go spend our time with, you know, in some one of these homes. And it's such an immediate gratification when we see the children, we go play with the children or be with the elders out there. We come back thinking it's a wonderful day, you know, it's such a satisfying day. But this is a cause where, you know, we are talking about emergencies, blood, and about saving lives. And we hope that a person, the trainer who, or the trainee who gets trained on this, never gets an opportunity, to put his skills on a test. But again, this is like a seed that we are sowing today, so that in future somebody might, you know, might benefit out of this. But again, the motivation behind this, you know, for people to come and volunteer their time for this, it's a very, very challenging thing. One, because the subject itself is a very, very serious matter, and not everybody are tuned in for that. And it doesn't give you an immediate gratification like any other cause that I spoke about now. And second is, again, the finances, like any other NGO, that we do face a lot of financial challenges, because even corporates, when they want, as a part of the corporate social responsibility, when they want to donate their time or their funding to any cause, it is more towards a very visible cause where it goes to the beneficiaries. It should be a tangible cause for them. It could be like, you know, children, it could be for an old age home. But a cause like this, it's very, very difficult to showcase anything for even for the corporates. So these are the topmost challenges that we face. But again, even while I'm saying challenges, as that they are the challenges that we face, but I can clearly say that however much the challenges are there, we have been able to purely, it is absolutely Swami's grace and his again, a conviction that he is the doer and he knows how to get his job done. So whatever the challenges that we encounter, it is like it gets addressed. Like, for instance, say we need around 10,000 rupees for a training, to conduct a training, maybe next week or something, and we will not be having a single penny, because to date all our training has been going out for free. We don't charge for any of our trainings. This is where we encounter challenges to conduct these trainings, and that would involve training materials and commuting and so forth. But somewhere the funding does come, you know, in a small way. If we need 10,000, we'll receive only 10,000. In that way, Swami has been taking care of it. But definitely, if these, we hope, we hope these things will be addressed in near future and should be able to take it forward.
Gratification may be difficult to come by, but Swami does provide them with the right impetus to keep them motivated. Mrs. Kala shares one such heartening incident.
Alert has an ad, a small ad on awareness on getting trained that is being played in a very popular, the most popular movie theater in a group of theaters in Chennai. And this was once again as a goodwill gesture by that organization, by that group of theaters, because we had trained all of their 100% of their employees on first aid and emergency management. And as a goodwill gesture, they wanted to play those 20-second ads in their theaters. So it was just one of those days where a group of friends had gone to watch a film. It was a Friday evening, and they had gone to watch a film, and during the interval they have seen the Alert ad. I understand that they were very inspired just by seeing that ad. And the next day, these are a bunch of professionals who are from other states and other places, but who are working in Chennai. Mm-hmm. So it was a Saturday, and this one of the person from that group had gone to his hometown, that was Vellore. And he said he had gone in his car, and on Sunday morning, it was around 5:30 or so, when he was driving his car going somewhere, and he saw a person on a moped carrying the milk vans on either sides.
Okay.
So, and it was, I think it was sort of quite dark, and the bike that was going in front of him skid. The milk fell down and the vessels fell down, and the person also, he was down. So what he said was this person who was in the car, he said the first thing that when I saw the person fall down, the first thing that came to my mind was the ad, Alert ad that was played in Satyam. And immediately I stopped my car and I made sure that the person was all right. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, the person was not fatally injured. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, he was not fatally injured or injured very badly. But the fact that he actually, that something propelled him to stop the car and go and just, render help. And which he said that in my, 35 odd years, I've never done this earlier, to stop and help a person out of my way, going out of my way. This is the first time I did that, and thanks to Alert, and it was only because of the ad.
Yeah.
Just that ad could make a difference.
If you had not seen that ad, you wouldn't have done it.
That's what he said, yes. And I think that's exactly what Alert is here to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we are not here to transform the society completely, make them skilled trainers. That is not the intention. The intention is to tap that, humanitarian things that is within every one of us. And that we have to stop and help a person when there is a need. I mean, and he came back to us. After that, he has gone to checked out our website, and then he got in touch with us saying, I really would like to get trained. And that was one of the instances. And the recent one was we had a training around a month back, not even a month back, 3 weeks back, that happened in the morning. Again, a bunch of friends, they had come, and they had come for the training in the morning. And that evening, they were out on the roads for going out for a film or something. Once again, that was a Saturday or a Sunday. And on their way, they had encountered a very bad accident, and they had immediately jumped into action. What they had to say was, if we had not attended this training in the morning, we would have never known what is to be done. And they said, we checked for the responsiveness, and we just knew what is to be done. And they said, if not for this, we would have never done this. I think it takes that first step of getting trained. And once you're trained and you're aware of what is to be done, you cannot but stop and help a person when he's suffering.
Dear listeners, Alert has come a long way, to say the least, as the members of Alert assert. We started out as a bunch of IT professionals wanting to be prepared to handle emergency situations. Today, we are an NGO that has trained 20,000 people. Could this be anything other than his making? Swami had told them that they will deal with government bodies, but today they are an organization that is endorsed by the government of Tamil Nadu, an initiative. Enforcement agencies are eager to partner, and in fact, the CBT that Alert has made available was launched by the Honorable Governor of Tamil Nadu, Dr. K. Rosaiya, in an event held at Rajbhavan. Describing that event, Mrs. Kala excitedly describes how they wanted the event to be held in a manner similar to those held in Prashanthi Nilayam. So, they decided they would start the program with all Swami students chanting Vedam. And when they did start it that way, it completely charged up the atmosphere, and she says it might well be the first time any event started with Vedam chanting at the Raj Bhavan. That sure, dear listeners, is quite a progress that this NGO, a small group of spirited youngsters, has made. But what is the road ahead for them? What are their goals for the future? Mr. Rajesh has this to say.
We did made our presentations at Sundaram Chennai because we are operating more around the Chennai and Tamil Nadu region. So there are plans to work along with the VIP program.
SSVIP.
Yes, SSVIP.
This village integrated program.
Yes. So we attempted once, and then I think the challenge was more on our side because we were less in number.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we always know the Satya Sai projects are all really big, massive, mm-hmm. and they are fast. In delivering projects to the beneficiaries.
Mm.
There have been some discussions happening on integrating modules and emergency care into the SSVIP.
Mm.
And there is also a plan to have emergency programs into the Vidya Vahini project that is happening.
Mm.
So it is, I think, a matter of time before this will become integral part of those two major projects that the Satya Sai organization is doing.
Mm.
And through that, it will go to the people. Mm. There are a few other future plans to put together a small system in place.
Mm.
It is still at a very nasal idea stage. We are looking at systems that can help reduce the time between event and the arrival of the ambulance itself.
Okay.
So an average time of about 15 minutes was being consistently achieved. But then in the last 1 to 1.5 years, data statistics are showing us that this average time is increasing. It is easily between 20 to 25 minutes.
Mm.
So looks like even until professional help arrives, there is a tremendous need for a certain system that can handle this situation. So Alert does have some plans to address this problem. We do propose to do some prototypes and some pilot programs before this will go into full gear. We are in the year 2013.
Dear listeners, in October 2012, we invited Mrs. Kala and Mr. Rajesh to come and share with us this journey called Alert. And we at Radio Sai are grateful to them that they immediately accepted our invitation and came to Puttaparthi, specifically to record this interview with us. But this too was merely a play of the Lord, and Mrs. Kala believes she is quite justified in thinking so. Narrating an interesting dream Swami blessed her with 9.5 years ago, she said,
"It was around nine and a half years back, he came again, it was when I say, you know, Swami said this, it's more of visions and dreams and messages. So Swami says one day, it's like I'm in Parthi and he says, go talk. What he was trying to say is go talk to the people about, he wanted me to talk to the people seated there. And then I say, Swami, me? You're saying me? He says very firmly, he says, go talk. And then I say, Swami, I can't, I'm not used to talking, you know, addressing the public. And then at one point then he says, because it is going on and off, like it's, I'm continuously saying, Swami, I can't do that. And he says, go talk. And then he says, he will help, you know, he'll be there. And I look at, just turn my face and see, and somewhere in the crowd, Rajesh is seated there. And the most surprising factor about the whole thing is just 1 week prior to having this, actually, Rajesh, the way we got to know each other was we were working in the same organization.
Mm.
Actually, to be frank, I was his first manager.
Mm.
He was just out of college. He had just come to that organization. I had interviewed him.
Organization Alert, you're talking about?
No, this is about the IT organization that I was working in. He had come for an interview out of the institute, and he had come there for a job interview.
Yeah.
And I had interviewed him and I had taken him, and until then I had no clue about Swami's students, institute, on how it works and how the students would be. 1 week earlier to that, I met up with the first Swami student, that was the first interaction with a Swami student, and his name was Bharadwaj. He also happened to work in the organization, and I just got introduced to him as a Swami student. And I said, I need some people to recruit for my team, and he brought in Rajesh. And at that time, I had no clue about his background or, him being a student of Swami. Nothing, absolutely no clue. And at that time, I was saying, he's just 1 week, he's just joined 2-3 days back, and how is he going to help me? And where am I going to talk? And why is Swami saying, go talk? And now to look back at 10 years down the line, it was around, even earlier than this, prior to this, it was 3 years back, I was called in Anandpur University to address the students. And that was the first time I even went to Anandpur Institute, and they said, this is a place where, Swami used to stay, and this is a place from where Swami used to address the students, and you're standing there today and you're giving the thing. I was absolutely humbled and dumbfounded by the whole thing, because I've never seen myself as a person who can talk to the public, or today to be talking on Radio Sai, and that too with the same person whom he had said that he would be there. So it's just so much of an eye-opener that it is all his huge master plan. Everything is pre-planned, and it is all about joining of dots.
Connecting the dots it is. And as the dots are connected, Bhagwan's masterpiece unfolds itself, making us feel so much part of it. Alert is yet another story of his inspiration finding expression in the lives of those who love him. Dear listeners, you can have a look at their website, alert-wecare.org. In fact, the logo of Alert explains many things about this NGO. As constituted in the logo, Alert stands for two things, awareness and compassion. Awareness is represented in the logo by a capsule. This capsule, that is awareness, tries to address a prevalent and mounting problem where inaction and indifference to a life has become an accepted way of life. Hence, the capsule in this logo expresses what Alert has come in to do, that is, encapsulation in the form of awareness. Compassion in the logo is represented by the daisy flower and stands for Alert's byline, compassion without awareness is merely a good intention, whereas compassion with awareness leads to action. Then there is an exclamation mark in the daisy flower on the logo that expresses the sense of joy and happiness. When compassion is backed by awareness, it leads to joy. So, dear listeners, the capsule in the logo represents awareness. Compassion in the logo is represented by the daisy flower. And an exclamation mark in the daisy flower on the logo expresses the sense of joy and happiness. Started in the year 2006 by a small bunch of inspired Sai youth, in a small way, so as to give back something to the society, this NGO Alert has grown into a leading organization which has trained over 20,000 people on golden hour and emergency response training. So when we asked them if they had ever thought of this, they said,
I think that's another signature of our beloved Swami. Mm-hmm. Many of his projects that we have also seen seems to start small, but then suddenly like a big bang explodes after a certain point. Likewise, when we started with this small step of getting ourselves trained, we did not ever imagine that today in about 5.5 to 6 years, we would have been instrumental in training about 20,000 people. And the way things are going at Alert, it is only set to explode. I think there cannot be any other force that can even explain this other than the unseen hand of our Swami doing every bit of what is happening at alert.
Yeah, like in any other projects of Swami, I think when the intent is there and, you know, and the complete surrender is there, the faith is there that this is Swami is the doer and we are just his instruments in his hand to, you know, execute his orders. I think it just goes on. Absolutely, there's no stopping to it.
Well, dear listeners, inspired by Bhagwan's teachings on service, like love all, serve all, hands that help are holier than lips that pray. Many Sai devotees have taken up service activities all over the world. So be it a service activity in remote Andhra Pradesh or at a slum in Zimbabwe, Sai volunteers of all background are transforming the world by serving in the name of Sai. And today, dear listeners, you heard about one such service activity, an NGO, ALERT, which stands for Amenity Lifeline Emergency Response Team. An NGO started by a group of inspired Sai youth from Chennai. We at Radio Sai are extremely grateful to Mrs. Kala Balasundaram and Mr. Rajesh Trivedi, two of the key members of this initiative with whom we had this conversation. Well, dear listeners, Mrs. Kala is the founder trustee of ALERT and Mr. Rajesh Trivedi is the managing trustee. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, once again, this is Karuna filling in for my colleague, Brother Raghu, and you're tuned to Seva Love in Action on Thursday Live. You just heard an episode of Serving in the Name of Sai. You can download other segments of Seva stories from our website, radiosai.org. And dear listeners, we invite you to mail us accounts of your Seva experiences, whether it was here in Prashanti or any other place. You can send us your audio clips by email at listener@radiosai.org. And remember, in the subject line, please write, Attention Raghu. Brother Raghu will gladly play it on one of the episodes of Seva Love in Action on Thursday Live. And now, till Brothers Prem and Arvind sign in with Afternoon Satsang at 12:30, please enjoy some blissful bhajans from Prashanti Nilayam. Sai Ram.
बरसाओ बाबा
प्रेमामृत बरसाओ बाबा
प्रेमामृत बरसाओ बाबा
प्रेमामृत बरसाओ बाबा
दया करो भगवान
दया करो भगवान
कृपा करो भगवान
कृपा करो भगवान
दया करो भगवान
करो भगवान
कृपा करो भगवान
कृपा करो भगवान
प्रेमामृत बरसाओ बाबा
प्रेमामृत बरसाओ बाबा
तुम्हारी दया बिन कैसा जीवन
तुम्हारी दया
रोम रोम में बसने वाले राम,
रोम रोम में बसने वाले राम,
जन्म मरण से पार उतारो, करो
भगवान,
कृपा करो भगवान, दया करो भगवान, कृपा करो भगवान, प्रेमामृत बरसाओ
बाबा,
दया करो भगवान, कृपा करो भगवान, प्रेमामृत बरसाओ बाबा,
प्रेमामृत बरसाओ,
तुम्हारी दया बिन कैसा जीवन, रोम रोम में बसने रोम में बसने वाले राम,
रोम में बसने वाले राम,
जन्म मरण से पार उतारो, करो भगवान, कृपा करो भगवान, दया करो भगवान, कृपा करो भगवान, प्रेमामृत बरसाओ बाबा,
Narayana, Hari Narayana, Hari Narayana. ज्ञान दो
सरस्वती ज्ञान दो
वे
ज्ञान दो Saraswati Gyan Do.